Marie hissed through her teeth as the groans rose from the crowd. "What? You haven't got legs? You spent half the time at your day club in the gym."
"That was muscle toning," she said, "not forced labor in a sauna."
"Get used to it."
Marie almost started to answer back, but caught the look in his eye. She exchanged a slightly worried glance with her mother, then shrugged acceptance.
"Okay."
"What about our gear?"
someone asked the manager.
"The Ibets will unload it from the space plane," she said. "We've got a lorry ready to take it into town. It'll go straight onto the boat with you."
After the colonists started their march into town, a couple of the spaceport ground crew marshaled Quinn and the other involuntary transportees into a work party. So his first experience of Lalonde was spending 2 hours lugging sealed composite containers out of a space plane's cargo hold and stacking them on lorries. It was heavy work, and the Ibets stripped down to their shorts. It didn't seem to make a lot of difference to Quinn. Sweat appeared to have consolidated into a permanent layer on his skin. One of the ground crew told them that Lalonde's gravity was fractionally less than Earth standard. He couldn't feel that either. About a quarter of an hour into the job, he noticed the ground crew had all slunk back into the shade of the hangar. Nobody was bothering with the Ibets. Two more McBoeing BDA-9008s landed, bringing another batch of colonists down from the orbiting starship. One space plane took off, ferrying LDC personnel up to the empty berths. They were going home. Their contract time expired. He stopped to watch the big dark delta shape soar into the sky, dwindling away to the east. The sight laced his thoughts with vicious envy, and still nobody was paying him any attention. He could run here and now, away into that awesome expanse of untamed land beyond the perimeter, but the spaceport was the place where he wanted to run to, and he could well imagine how the homesteaders would treat fugitive Ibets. He might have been stupid enough to be transported, but he wasn't that naive. Cursing softly under his breath, he hauled another composite box full of carpentry tools out of the McBoeing's hold and carried it over to the lorry. By the time the Ibets finished the unloading and began their long trudge into Durringham, the clouds from the west had arrived, bringing a warm, persistent rain. Quinn wasn't surprised to find his grey jumpsuit turned out not to be waterproof. The Lalonde Immigration Registration Department manager's office was in an administration block grafted onto the spaceport's flight control center. A long, rectangular flat roof structure of easy-stack panels clipped onto a metal frame. It had been assembled 25 years previously, when the first colonists arrived, and its austere fittings were showing their age. Lalonde didn't even rate programmed silicone constructs for its administration buildings, Darcy thought bleakly. At least the lunar-built structures had some concessions to comfortable living. If ever a colony project was funded on the cheap, it was Lalonde. But the office did have air conditioning powered from solar cells. The temperature was appreciably lower than outside, though the humidity remained constant. He sat on the settee, working his way through the registration cards, which the latest batch of arrivals had handed over in exchange for their citizenship and LDC credit disks. The starship had brought 5,500 people from Earth, 5,500 losers, dreamers, and criminals let loose to wreck another planet in the name of noble destiny. After 60 years in the Edenist Intelligence Agency, Darcy couldn't think of Adamists in any other terms. "And they claim they're the normal ones," he thought wryly. "Give me ungodly freakishness every time." He entered another card's memory into his processor block, glancing briefly at the hologram. A fairly handsome 20-year-old man, face composed, eyes haunted with fear and hatred, Quinn Dexter, an involuntary transportee. The processor block balanced on his lap didn't respond to the name. The card was tossed onto the growing pile. Darcy picked up another.
"Something you never told me,"
Nico Freihagen said from behind his desk.
"Who are you people looking for?"
Darcy looked up. Nico Freihagen was Lalonde's immigration registrar, a grand title for what was essentially a clerk working in the governor's civil administration division. He was in his late 50s, dourly Slavic in appearance, with rolling jowls and limp receding hair. Darcy suspected his ancestors had had very little to do with Jinneering.